Busy Izzy by Melethea Thomas. Read by Kat Rose Martin. Curiosity. It can be a terrible thing. Visiting Aunt Delphi's house was always a thrilling experience. You see, she had these dolls that Izzy Bates, niece, aged 11, had been told since the age of 5 must never, ever be touched. Once you touch, the dolls remember. Scary words indeed. But Aunt Delphi's skeletal index fingers and penetrating eyes were sufficient deterrents, ensuring that Izzy never did touch the dolls before the age of 11. The dolls were as ingrained in the house as its many walls. Deeds stated that a new owner could not remove them. A bit like the ravens at the tower, Izzy supposed. Aunt Delphi had no intention of leaving, however, saying, "I want my body to be interred in a wall when I die." Ugh, random. So, contentment came with peeping through the door of the bedroom the dolls lived in. Izzy had named them Anwen, Bertie and Claudette, after trawling through a book entitled Names That Have Fallen From Popularity. Naming suggests a fondness for something, but she wasn't fond of them. Merely intrigued by these oddities, with their troll-like, snouty faces that were framed by ringlets, who were dressed in weird, old-fashioned clothes, which Mam said were Victorian. The more conventional-looking dolls that shared the glass cabinet with the snouty three were, Izzy noted, often turned away from them. Unusually, Aunt Delphi was away this Christmas, seeking the healing nature of Jamaica. She was exhausted by the care of the demanding little ones, and had left Mam in charge of the house. While Mam was occupied, chasing after a stray tomcat, Izzy sprinted into the doll's room, gingerly opened the cabinet, and, with just one finger mind, poked Anwen. She supposed that having told Mam that the dolls, one minute, were just staring forward, and that she turned away, looked back, and they were pointing at her, hadn't helped Mam's mood. Or was it that she said that Anwen had hissed, "Pretty, pretty, naughty Izzy." And in running away, Izzy tripped and banged her head. Whichever, Mam rubbed Izzy's head a little too vigorously while leading her out of the house, and told her that it was obviously too dangerous to visit any more if she was going to bang her head and talk nonsense about pointing dolls. Forget that. As Izzy sulked in the back of the car, rubbing her ever-expanding lump, she knew beyond any doubt that they were more than freak dolls. A 2-mile walk to Aunt Delphi's was no barrier to a girl on a mission. She had in mind the loyal friends to help her. Paxies, right? Paxies. Paxies. 3 gloved fists, plonked one on top of the other, were covered by a light dusting of snow. Izzy, as niece, would be the leader of these year 6 outcasts. She, with the moderate hearing loss, whom the other kids called Whistler, because her hearing aid would whistle at inopportune moments. Then there was Ewan, the lad who had no dad. And finally, Mo, short for Mohammed, whose Christmas in this village was so unlike the others. As a sensible precaution, Izzy had devised armour as protection from doll onslaught. A colander and saucepans for heads, saucepans nicked from hoarder Gran, water pistols to dampen orbs of fire, and finally, whisks, which Izzy believed would trap knives thrust at them. "Whisks," protested Ewan. "Not much good for anything." "No," tittered Mo. "But at least you could whisk a ghost to death, scramble up that ectoplasm and toss it back into the ether." Mo and his jokes, and his scary knowledge of words. with the key grating tooth-achingly as it turned in the lock, and Izzy's foot planted on the moss-encrusted step, the spine-tingling horror of what they were about to do was no longer assigned to playground scares. "It smells in here!" Ewan retched as they, tied together by a rope around their waists, trod tentatively on the floorboards, guided by the feeble light from Izzy's torch. "Doesn't your aunt clean? And can't she afford a new light bulb?" "That'll be putrefaction," Mo began, before he tripped, yanking the others down with him. "Careful," Izzy warned. "There are gaps in the floorboards." "Oh, and it's not what Mo said. It's auntie's smell. Old aunts smell strange. Like lavender mixed with stinky lavatories." "Lavatories?" Ewan questioned. "Toilet. Loo," Mo translated. "Well, why didn't Izzy just say that?" Scratch! Scratch! Tiny hairs on three pairs of arms stood to attention. "What was that?" Breathlessly, Mo moved around so that they huddled together, their hot breath combining to create soothing warmth in the cold night. "I don't feel right at the back. Can't we just walk separately?" "We stick together, Mo, like the Avengers Assemble. But there are more of them." Izzy swept the hallway with torchlight. Three heads turned, concentrating on the ever-shifting shadows. There were plenty of finger-curling cobwebs, and suspended in one, similar to those seen in queer Hammer horrors that Aunt Delphi let Izzy watch, was a withered rat. The hallway traversed without too much difficulty. Izzy stepped onto the creaking staircase. "Auntie always says to keep to the banister side. It's stronger there." She shone the torch around as they climbed, saw Mo glance behind, and knew that he was petrified. He and Ewan had drawn hairs plucked from her head to see who would bring up the rear. Mo had tried to bribe Ewan with a back catalogue of Iron Man comics if he swapped places. "Hurry up, yeah?" Mo urged. A hiss streaked past them, and their melodic screams inflated the house. It's just a cat," Izzy finally said, holding the torch in front of her face. "Creak!" She spun around, face to face with Anwin, who, like a deranged Morris dancer, flew down the stairs, dancing behind Mo. "Is someone behind me, Izzy?" Mo's heartbeat blazed a trail through his chest. "Why does your face look like you've been forced to eat lumpy custard?" Ewan gripped Izzy's arm. "I'm scared." "I'm not going to be for the chop." Mo whisked the whisk from the belt at his waist and started whisking. High, low, side to side. If something was there, he'd mangle it. In the torchlight, Anwin's talons sliced at the air around Mo.
She's there," Izzy pointed.
"Where? I can't see. Duck, Mo, duck." Weakly, Ewan said,
"Stop scaring us, Izzy."
30 seconds of air whisking, supplemented by a war cry, ensured that Mo had whisked tension away and seen Anwin off. He bent forward, settling his breath.
That was Anwin.
Izzy felt as if her voice was speaking to her from the other side of the room.
"Anwin?" questioned Ewan.
"I told you. She's the doll I touched."
"But there's nothing there."
Izzy's forehead crinkled. More alert, the boys looked in the direction her eyes gazed.
"Izzy, Izzy," a rasping voice said. "Naughty Izzy, ever so busy, nosy Izzy, you're so silly and pretty."
Anwin danced manically from side to side, snout opening and closing, revealing razor-sharp teeth. Breathlessly, Izzy pushed back into the boys for protection.
"Don't you hear her?"
"Stop it, Izzy,"
protested Ewan. Mo's ankle twisted on the stairs and he fell backwards.
"Help!"
It was a body-bashing descent to the hallway. His legs burst through the floorboards, and he found himself holding himself up by his arms. Izzy and Ewan toppled next to him. Immediately, Izzy tried to locate Anwyn with the torch.
"She's not here."
Her voice was tight.
"Get me out and let's go,"
Mo squeaked. "Forget playground honour. I'm going to have bruises on my legs the size of saucers. Where have my legs gone?"
"The basement."
They tried to lift him out, but he slipped further in. Izzy shone the torch, squinting through the gap by Mo's side. Her stomach lurched. Anwyn reached up to Mo's ankles, a self-satisfied smirk on her face.
"Help me, Ewan. We've got to pull him up now, or Anwyn will take him."
"You're scaring me, Izzy,"
Mo whined. Ewan snatched the torch out of Izzy's hand, shoved her out of the way, and peered through.
"Boxes? Cobwebs? There's only more, Izzy. You've had your joke. Stop it now."
Crack! The floorboards gave way. Mo disappeared from view, pulling Ewan forcefully down so that he straddled the hall and Izzy fell on top of him.
"Izzy,"
a voice rasped.
"We only want you."
Izzy shone the torch in Ewan's face, blinding him. His eyes blinked rapidly, looking left to right. He pushed the torch back to her, and her colour-drained face was reflected.
"What's the matter with you?"
They want me."
Shuffling, Izzy gasped and whirled around.
"Stuffing Nora, Izzy, you're freaking me out."
Mo chimed in with,
"Poor Nora, but I need to stop dangling."
Izzy recoiled as Bertie and Claudette approached, snouts opening and closing, teeth luminescent in the darkness. Then there was a sudden release of weight, followed by a woof sound below, and an ah! Ewan pulled up the rope that hung through the hall. It dangled, moleless, in his fingers.
"Sorry, Mo. I thought it best to cut the rope. I brought scissors. Wasn't sure about the whisk."
From below, Anwyn said,
"Come to us, Izzy, or your Mo and Ewan friends will make their mothers childless this night."
Silence. Mo's footsteps could be heard somewhere, pounding stairs determinedly.
"All right," Izzy cried. "Let Ewan and Mo go."
"Who are you talking to, Izzy?"
More skin-crawling shuffling. And when Izzy shone the torch, Anwyn now stood next to Bertie and Claudette, the ching-ching of her talons being sharpened one against the other. Moore ran into the hall and out of the door.
"I'm sorry, Izzy."
Ewan cut the rope, joining them together.
"This just isn't fun."
And he charged after Moore.
"Ewan!"
Izzy dropped to the floor, covering her head with her hands, and waited for the bite.
"Izzy?"
Mam's voice filtered through to her.
"Izzy!"
Weakly, Izzy raised herself up off the floor, fingers tracing the painful lump on her forehead.
"I tripped and banged my head, Mam. It was the dolls."
She turned, looking straight into Anwyn, Bertie and Claudette's victorious faces. Anwyn's gravelly voice said,
"Izzy, Izzy, another pretty."
Through the open door, Izzy could see Mam rushing around.
"Izzy, stop messing about and come here. Mam, I'm here."
Izzy moved forward and immediately hit glass. She now saw her own startled reflection, just as an unnerving warmth coursed through her, her body hardening. Panicking, she raised a hand, intending to tap the glass, as Mam peeped into the room, wrinkling her nose at the sight of Anwyn, Bertie and Claudette. Nothing had changed. If, however, she'd taken a few more steps and looked closely, she would have seen a new doll, brown-skinned, with tiny hearing aids, just like her daughter. And so, bothersome though it was, Aunt Delphi had to return from Jamaica early when she heard that Izzy was missing. As she peered into the cabinet, seeing what Mam had failed to see, she tutted at Anwyn, Bertie and Claudette. Before touching the tiny, forever frozen tear on Izzy doll's face, and said with a shrug, "Curiosity, it's a terrible thing."